gospel according to Mark.
Glory
to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed, for you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. The kingdom and the power and the glory. What? Amen. Perhaps the most familiar ending of all time. How fitting it is that as we come to the end of our Lenten fast on this Easter day of feasting, we also wrap up our time together dwelling on the Lord's Prayer with the words that lift before us the glory of God. Amen? Amen. You're so Lutheran. Well, actually, some of you. My parents are here. They're Methodists. Oh, hi, Mom and Dad. There's nothing better than a good, solid, amen kind of ending. And they lived happily ever after. Maybe we like these endings because Hollywood loves happy endings. Usually a big smooch or a wedding or the heroes are honored and the whole entire world is there to celebrate them in ceremony. Or everything is back to normal, but maybe even better as the camera pans out and everyone is peacefully playing among the rubble, even though just the day before the world was ending. We like happy endings. But quite interestingly, the Easter story before us today has this kind of non-ending. In the Gospel, according to Mark, we don't get quick and easy resolve. Instead, the love story ends in an abrupt, powerful, and profound way. The camera pans out on three women who had been faithful to Jesus all the way up to and through his death on the cross, now running away from the tomb, seized by terror. That Greek word means that they were shaking, trembling, terrified, and amazed, and so overwhelmed by fear that what do? They say nothing to anyone. This whole Easter story is so incredibly unresolved and mysterious that it feels like we're left to just watch the credits roll. Except instead of the credits, what we're left with is people who throughout the ages have struggled with the mystery and tried to make sense of the amazement in this Easter story that ends without an amen. Without even one single appearance of the risen Lord. I mean, how is it possible that an Easter story could end with the women so afraid that they tell no one? And yet, here we are in 2018. Here, we gather together on a Sunday morning because someone must have told somebody something. We gather together today because it is quite clear that the story did not end at the tomb. As far as these women knew, they were coming to pay tribute and honor a body because they thought it had ended at first light on Sunday morning, them making their way to the tomb with the aroma of spices wafting in the air, held in their hands, ready to face the day, ready to face the reality of their sad work. They had the whole Sabbath to just sit there and think about what had just happened. They wondered how in the world they were going to get into that tomb. Who would roll away the stone? But when they got there, the stone was rolled away. And so they entered the tomb. And instead of finding the body of Jesus, they find a messenger, an angel. A young man in a white robe stood before them, totally taken aback. He says to them, "Don't be afraid." And he gave them the message that things had not come to an end. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here." How is that even possible? The women look around, and quite strangely, they look at nothing. Nobody. No body. Jesus was not there. "Look," says the angel, "here's the place where they laid him." And without even a moment to take it all in, the angel gives them their next chapter. He says, "Go. Tell. Especially talk to Peter that Jesus has gone ahead of you into Galilee, just like he said he was going to do. They had thought it was all over. But now these women were compelled to wonder if what Jesus had been saying all along was true. Jesus had told them over and over again that he would suffer and be killed, and that the story would not be ending in devastation, but that he would rise from the dead. Perhaps his disciples thought he was just speaking in some kind of weird, cryptic, riddly type thing. Maybe it was all too good to be true. It wasn't making sense from that side of the cross. But now, before these women, there was this glaring lack of evidence and only the testimony of an angel that Jesus had risen from the dead. So the angel says to the women, "Go and tell." But I wonder, is that what they did? Remember that last scene, these women fleeing from the tomb because they were so afraid that they said nothing to anyone? Like their fight or their flight kicked in and they chose which one they needed to survive? But the story, it didn't end at the tomb. And the story of the resurrection still has not ended. Resurrection for Christ, for you, for all of us, is a story that by definition never ends. Has it ever happened to you that you had this plan about how your life would look? Or maybe you thought you knew how your story was going to go, and then all of a sudden there's just this curveball that feels like an ending, and you're faced with this new road that you weren't expecting at all. Or maybe it's happened in your life before where you thought things weren't going to get any worse. Or perhaps you couldn't find yourself looking at a road of certainty, and so you sit there still and frozen, trembling in the uncertainty. But all of a sudden, resurrection. And things turn out better than you might have planned or imagined. Has it ever happened to you that in the midst of a struggle, when you thought everything was ending, that God showed you strength and healing and new life in unexpected ways beyond what you could imagine? That's the power of the resurrection. That's what resurrection is, and that is a resurrected life, a story that continues in Christ, even in the face of sin and fear and death. So then, how do we cope with this non-ending, this mystery? Where's the proof any of this was real? Show me the facts. Take me to the tomb. Make it real for me, Pastor Jen. Give me something you can prove. And yet, even the first witnesses never get the assurance in that moment, as far as we are told, that Jesus had risen from the dead. They just believed it. That's because faith is not dependent on a happy or resolved ending. What faith needs is sustenance. What faith in the resurrected life needs is nurturing and reminding. So we gather together today on this Easter morning to remind each other that here is the resurrection of Jesus. That here is the resurrected body of Christ. That here are resurrected lives and stories unfolding right before us. Men and women, young and old, gathered here today and across the world throughout the generations around a story that never ends. One theologian put it this way: by far, the best proof of the resurrection is the existence of the Christian church. Nothing else could have changed sad and despairing men and women into people radiant with joy and aflame with courage. Resurrection. You're a part of it. And it's a never-ending way of living, celebrated every single time that we break bread and drink wine and tell the story again. Because in our celebration today, Christ is truly present. And we are reminded that our stories begin and end and continue in Christ always. As we tell the story again and again, we too are transformed from sad and despairing men and women into people radiant with joy and aflame with courage. Sent with that joy and that courage, and with the presence of the resurrected Christ among us each hour of every day, we are compelled to do what the woman at the tomb could not do at first. We are invited to go and tell the story of Christ in our lives, providing strength in the face of weakness, hope in the face of uncertainty, healing in the face of brokenness, and life in the face of death. We are invited to go and tell the story that never ends, that God transforms endings into new beginnings. Amen.